The Money Show. Business Unusual.
Colin Cullis, our Business Unusual correspondent, with a link to Cape Town, a link to Amazon, and a future that involves South Africa, and a past too. Tell me the story, Colin Cullis.
It includes a tough definition as well, and here it is. Cloud computing is defined as an IT paradigm that enables ubiquitous access to shared pools of configurable system resources and higher-level services that can be rapidly provisioned with minimal management effort.
Good.
Right. A more manageable version, or understandable at least. It allows simple devices to become smart. And I'll give you a scenario, okay? Let's say you and I are talking about investments for the next 12 months and the new iPhone designs. You and I are effectively a traditional computer. We're okay, but we're a bit light on sort of investing forecasts or design. Now, let's imagine you ring Warren Buffett, and he tells you, maybe go light on certain South African retailers in the next 12 months. And I've got Johnny Ive on the blow, and he says, well, at least I'll be able to find out what they're going to do now that they've, you know, removed all the buttons and ports from the phones. What's next? So at the point that we called them, we tapped into sort of expert information. And then when we're done with the call, we've answered our question, we could end the call. So this process in cloud computing is called virtualization, and it makes a simple device get access to something that can be configured as you need it, when you need it, rather than having to buy it all the time. So here's another scenario, and you probably know this one, airlines, concert companies, and retailers. Black Friday. You get loads of people coming to your website, and you've never really been able to handle that sort of volume. So in the build-up to Black Friday, you go and get some expensive servers and huge amounts of capacity in order to run that. And then you've got to keep those there because typically you've signed into them for a year or more. But you don't use them for the rest of the year. It's just that one day. And for the rest of the year, then you effectively have to take the cost of maintaining all those things and subtract it from the profit of that just one day. And all of a sudden, Black Friday looks like a complete waste of money. Unless, of course, you could say, I want to just have those huge spike in capacity only on the days when I have a huge spike in demand. And this is effectively what cloud computing allows us to start doing. So that make a little more sense?
A little bit, yes.
And we have a South African to thank for it, Chris Pinkham. He got the whole thing started. In fact, he was probably the first South African to connect South Africa to the internet. He did it back in the early 90s, and it was a time when the South African total internet connection to the global internet was 64 kilobits per second. That probably doesn't mean anything to you, so I'll tell you that now the average user has over 6,000 kilobits per second as an individual. Back then, that was the entire country had to share that 64 kilobit line.
I mean, that's like taking an old-fashioned modem, plugging it into a copper wire, and then waiting 10 minutes for it to load up a home page.
Yeah, and that was literally that. Remember when we did a thing on the formation of Alibaba, Jack Ma had done that, and he spent like better part of a night waiting for a page to load to demonstrate to people in China what the internet was. So he was our version of that. And he's gone on to do a whole bunch of other things. He's worked at Microsoft, he's worked at Amazon, of course, and Twitter. But it was his time at Amazon that he heard about an idea and then was tasked to set this up for creating this cloud-based services. And it was sort of twofold. One, it was a great business prospect, you know, build a machine capacity that definitely has a business model for it. But also, Amazon at the time was really growing very big, and as retailers, they need to have the ability to scale and deal with the demand that shoppers give. But it was expensive to have to provision all this stuff. And so the idea of somebody saying you could create a platform that we could use only when we need it, and more importantly, you could potentially get others, maybe even your competitors, to offset the cost of it, so effectively subsidize your IT infrastructure while running your massive and hugely profitable business. Well, that was just too good a reason. Genius, I suppose you could consider that. And that's what they've started doing. And to date, it's 2004, they started working on it. 2006, they launched in sort of alpha. 2010, Amazon itself switched to using their own now expanded Amazon Web Services. In fact, this week, Amazon Web Services became available in South Africa, where you plugged directly into them. Previously, you need to plug into them via the internet and you
now
access them in another part of the world.
Explain to me why this is so important, the fact that you can plug directly into Amazon Web Services.
Well, you know, your data moves at the slowest speed in the link. And so we used to have a link via the normal internet to a point where Amazon Web Services took over, and they've obviously got very high speeds between them. Now there is a data center-y type thing here in Cape Town and one in Johannesburg, and anybody in South Africa can connect directly to those, and then effectively it's as if you're on Amazon's own web service. So it's super fast, super reliable. You know, that's the advantage it has now.
Is that more for a corporate market, or could I do it from home if I decided I wanted to stream movies and things like that?
So maybe it's a good idea to just separate out what the commercial part is from the personal part. So we all kind of use cloud computing principally for storage. When you have your iPhone store things to the cloud or Google or any of those other services, and we've referred to this before when we're doing the thing on the dark web. So we've got the normal web, the visible web, then there's the deep web, and the deep web is all this cloud storage computing, etc. But that's not exactly what this kind of cloud computing is for, because it's more for commercial operations. So let's assume, one of the retailers that does use it is Pick and Pay. So Pick and Pay says, listen, managing all our websites, all of our e-commerce and sales and managing our apps, that requires a lot of server resources. So let's push that over onto an Amazon sort of product, and they will take care of all of the storage and managing. But then they've got to do a lot of data analysis. So who bought what when, and what should we recommend to them, and how do we manage, you know, costs and credit cards and functions like that? And again, we'll hand it all over to Amazon. And then at the end of the month, Amazon charges only for what you use. If it's a quiet month, you pay less than if it's a really busy month. So that's the kind of comparison between the two of them. And it's definitely going to grow. I mean, the catch for South African companies has always been how expensive IT was. And so effectively, companies ran at the speed of their slowest computers. Now, potentially, as access improves and prices become better, they dropped the prices recently, but it's still kind of not for every small business, but it will get there. Then it becomes a real game changer, and effectively, everybody starts using simply making use of the web. And that's where Chris Pinkham and his team came in for devising it. And obviously, once they created it, others sort of thought, this is a good thing. So subsequently, Google, Microsoft, Oracle, IBM, all of these guys have come on board as well and have started, you know, with their own versions. And if you're wondering, like, cloud computing, why cloud computing? I mean, it could have been Galaxy Computing or Nebula Computing or any other silly name like that. Well, that name goes all the way back to the 60s. So when the original sort of IT architects were drawing the little plans for what their computer networks would look like, anything that wasn't part of the detailed bit, they'd simply draw a line to the sort of bubbly looking thing and say, that's in there. Don't care about it. And effectively, still, a company says, this is the stuff we have to maintain, the actual hardware we have, and everything else just connects to that other little bubbly thing, the cloud. And that's how the name came along. And so whenever you want to look sort of very erudite and use the hippest buzzword around at the moment, just say, yeah, you know, use the cloud. I'm very into cloud computing or anything else like that. And as far as LinkedIn is concerned, for the last 2 years, top skill globally, cloud and distributed computing. So the more you know about this stuff, the better you will be. But there's another reason perhaps we can touch on it and just show how clever this absolutely was. So back in those days, IBM original mainframes, whatever else, their original founder and chairman, Thomas Watson, the same guy who's got the name of the super AI computer, Watson, that guy, he was supposedly asked, what's the global demand for computers? And he said, suspect the global market probably for five of them. which has subsequently become one of the often most quoted worst predictions in the world ever. But I wonder, with this evening's conversation, if maybe he had a point. So if all devices are going to get smarter and connect to a cloud, and those supercomputers are operated by, let's see, Amazon, Google, Oracle, Microsoft, and IBM. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 computers servicing global demand. Smart man.
Oh, it's called the benefit of the doubt in retrospect, but I'll take it, Colin Cullis. Colin Cullis, our Business Unusual correspondent on a Wednesday.